Well, we just well stop and have a good time. We've so enjoyed being in Oklahoma camp meeting this year. Thank you, Brother James Dodd, and all of your district officials for this invitation. I count it one of the highest honors that I've had. This is my 72nd family camp. And there's not one of those camps I treasure as much as this one. For I was raised as a freckle-faced boy in Oklahoma. And for you to honor me enough to let me come and preach your camp, I'm deeply grateful. I could never do for this district what it's done for me. This district gave me license to preach and have helped me and encouraged me as a young boy. And I'm indebted to you, and I love you, and I love this fellowship. I thank God for it very, very much. I say it out of the deep of our heart. It is a real joy and a privilege to be with you in this camp. You have one of our finest preachers in the Assemblies of God as your district superintendent. We have very few men that preach with James Dodd. He's one of the finest preachers we have in our land. He and Sister Dodd are such beautiful people. We love them dearly and we esteem them highly. All of the leadership of this district is great. God has given us great leadership. We thank God for it. Brother and Sister Newbin are our close friends, your assistant superintendent. I don't have better friends than Brother and Sister Watkins. All of these people are my friends. And I say it out of the deep of my heart, Nita and I thank you for the joy and the privilege of being with you in a camp meeting just like this. I've traveled in 38 districts, I believe, preached in about that many, I believe, if I've kept correct records, over 700 revivals. But I have not in any district seen any more beautiful display for a missionette and for our ladies' ministries than what I saw right here today. Amen. This is second to none.
Amen.
I think we ought to give a hand to our Sister Yandel. This was outstanding. Outstanding. You have in your district one of our finest decaps there is in America. I appreciate you, Brother Cargill. You're one of our best. I tell you now. Amen. From the missionary report, we've got missions director. From a Sunday school report, we have the finest Sunday school. You know, it's just wonderful to be a part of a fellowship just like we have. I'm glad to be a part of the Oklahoma District Council of the Assemblies of God. I feel just exactly like the little flea did in the elephant's ear when they crossed the bridge. Aren't we making this bridge shake? Man, we're getting the job done. Amen. Things are happening. Two fellows went deer hunting. Something jumped up and one hauled off and shot and said, I got us a deer. And the other one said, man, didn't we get one? He said, we nothing. You didn't have a thing to do with it. I killed that deer. When they got up where it was, they wasn't too happy with it. It began to have the resemblance of a mule colt. The one that shot said, we've killed somebody's mule colt. He said, we nothing. I have nothing to do with it. It all depends on which way it's going, whether we're in it or not. Amen. Thank you, friends, for this beautiful day and beautiful night, and what a day to worship God. Heard the other day about an old gentleman who lived out in the hills, never had been into town, never been in the city in his life. Rode into town, they told him he could stay all night in a hotel. He'd never been in a hotel in his whole life, never been in one. He went down the street and inquired where a place called a hotel was. Went in there and he said, isn't this the finest building? Stood in the lobby and said, I just never saw a building this beautiful. All of a sudden he looked over to the side and a little old door opened. little bitty lady, wrinkled and humpbacked, and weathered with the years, stepped on that in that little hole in the wall, and little doors went shut. He said, "Isn't that something? I wonder where she went." Pretty soon, a beautiful blonde came out that same door. They opened up, and he said, "I'm going home and get Mama and let her go." "I want her to get in that door." Amen. Well, we better get down to business tonight, the last night of the meeting. God bless you. We're leaving tonight after church. We'll be in the Potomac District. Camp meeting starting, supposed to be tomorrow night. But I called Brother Sproul and I said, "The Do-Right boys won't let me make it there but tomorrow night." So I'll be there Sunday night. But we're leaving after the service tonight to start that away. I'd like to get in time to rest a little Sunday if I could. We'll be starting another camp meeting. But thank you, friends, for everything. God bless you. The tapes are available back in the foyer. All of the messages are on tape. We have our duplicating equipment, and they make them there. Also, we have some albums of messages. The morning services in the New Mexico district, and the morning services in the West Florida district. A study on the book of Revelation, the final truth on the book of Revelation. I wish I believed that. But back in the foyer, there are tapes of the services each night, so you may get them tonight if you'd like. Sister Brankle and Jaquita, my daughter, will be there to help us tonight with that. Thank you, friends, for everything. God bless. We got to get down to business. Isn't this a wonderful group of missionaries tonight? Let me say thanks to this group that are carrying the gospel to the ends of the earth. I read the other day where the Assemblies of God have reached over, 9.5 million people now? And I just whispered to Brother Gherkin about this, and he said, "Yes, and that's only with a 60% count. It's projected that possibly around the world we have 12 million Assemblies of God Pentecostal tongue-talking people." Can you shout hallelujah? 108 countries with missionaries preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a day. What a day to do things for God. When this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the ends of the earth, then shall the end come. I feel like we're on the threshold of the return of our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'd like to pray the last prayer of the Bible tonight. Even so come, Lord Jesus. I was told that our Assemblies of God churches are growing faster, the Pentecostal churches at least, are growing faster, much faster than population in Central America. That's shouting ground. Amen. Hallelujah. Brazil, South America, 6.5 million Assemblies of God people filled with the Holy Ghost. That's shouting ground. Revival in Korea. That is astounding, and we're glad to hear that. Thank God. Our brother is here tonight, Brother Teske. What a day of revival. Let me plead with you, home folks, don't let the fire go out in the home fire. Amen. Let's keep the glory and keep a revival burning in our church. A missionary spoke the other night that disturbed me, and I wept. When I went to the altar, I cried. He said, "The hardest shock I got when I came back to America was to see how far our church had drifted in the short time I was gone." And my heart was crying, "Lord, we sit so close to it, we don't realize how cold and how cool, how indifferent." Would you say amen? I think it's high time we take new inventory and see if God's sending a revival and check our balances and find our direction in God for a mighty revival in the home fire. If you have your Bibles tonight, we'll get down to the Word. If you have it, we'll read together from the book of Matthew chapter 22, the words of our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter number 22, and we read, Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king that made a marriage for his son. He sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them that which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed. All things are ready. Come to the marriage. Oh, isn't that a beautiful text? All things are ready. Come on in. We're going to have the marriage supper. But they made light of it. Went their ways, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. The remnant took his servant and entreated them spitefully and slew them. When the king heard thereof, he was wroth. He sent forth his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their cities. Then said he to his servant, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Did you hear it? They which were bidden to the supper was not worthy. I wish you'd underline that little word, worthy. They which were bidden to the supper were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. That shouting note. Thank God there's going to be some people at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Did you hear it? The wedding was furnished with guests. When the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man that had not on a wedding garment. He said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servant, Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. And what a text that is. Many have been invited, but few will be chosen. Matthew chapter 24, and we read verse numbers 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days or before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And knew not till the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the meal, and one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would have come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be you also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily, I say unto you, he'll make him ruler over all of his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, shall begin to smite his fellow servant, eat and drink with a drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in an hour when he looketh not for him, in an hour when he's not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in the vessel with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight the cry was made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go you out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answering, saying, not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. Rather go you to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also other virgins, saying, Lord, open to us. He answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. I want to read for our text just one verse. Would you turn to the 21st chapter of Luke's Gospel, and we'll share together verse number 36. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy. I want to talk to you tonight for the next little while on the six that Jesus said would not be in the rapture. Six groups Jesus said won't go when the trump of God sounds. Mister, we missed the whole plan of God if we build a large church attendance and don't get them ready for the rapture. There's a lot of difference between Sunday morning religion and rapture victory. And I want to talk about it tonight. Would you stand with me and lift your hand, and let's ask the Holy Spirit to minister to us tonight. Great God of heaven, would you walk in these aisles tonight? Would you glorify your name with signs and wonders, diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost? Glorify thy name through the preaching of the word. Let the spirit of unction, the spirit of revelation, let the spirit of prophecy, let the divine mantle of God fall upon us anew. Give us that touch of heaven, I pray, tonight. Oh, Lord, thank you tonight for heaven's touch. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. I'll have to say I'm totally surprised that we got to have the camp meeting in 1982. I thought sure we'd be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. It is a surprise to me that we're not in the rapture. When Israel was renewed as a nation, I thought this must be it. When the Six-Day War was fought and God scooted an entire Arab world over, I said, this has to be it. Wasn't but a little while after that Iran became our bitter enemy. Ethiopia fell out with the United States and with the free world. Libya turned her back on America, and Turkey began to forbid us to use her air base. The Russian bear is restless, and he rattles his chain, and he has his eye upon the land that surrounds Israel and upon that little covenant land called Abraham's Ranch. I get shouting happy when I look at the news. It doesn't depress me. It makes you want to lift up your head and rejoice, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. They said today, I've been told, that 90% of all the technical knowledge that's in the land today has come about in the last 40 years. If you'd lived in the days of Abraham Lincoln, you could have probably lived in the days of Abraham the patriarch, and there was very little difference in technology. But all of a sudden, in the last day, something's happened. They said if you took all of the knowledge of man from time till the last 10 years and put all the last 10 years' technical knowledge in one box, it'd be the same size. We're in the end time. Knowledge shall increase. Men shall run to and fro. But we're getting shouting happy. We're harnessing vehicles to cover the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ and His saving grace. Hallelujah. Lift up your heads, you ransomed of Zion. Our King is at the door. I look for any time the big bear to jump on the little country called Israel. But that big bear is going to get the surprise of his life. For there's a covenant that God made with Abraham's kids that he's going to keep his end of it. I care not if Abraham's kids haven't kept it. My God is still in the covenant keeping business, and he'll write the last page to the book. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm praying that America will stay on speaking terms and on good terms and close ally with Israel. In fact, I wrote Mr. Reagan not long ago. I like him, and he has a lot of things he does I like. But I wrote him a letter, and I said, Mr. Reagan, don't abandon Israel. I'm sure he stayed up all night and worried about it after he read it. But I'm praying tonight we'll stand with the blessing of Abraham's kids. Amen. A few years ago, it looked like Mr. Carter was going to abandon Israel, and I got upset. And I thought, Mr. Jimmy, don't you abandon them. God will put decon in your peanuts. You can't leave Israel out. God Almighty has a covenant with that land. Say amen. Woo! Get your shouting clothes on, church. It's no time to go to sleep. It's no time to relax. It's no time to let up. It's time we get our wedding garments on. The King is at the door. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Lift up those hands that hang down. Those feeble knees, let them be strengthened. Our Lord is coming back to earth again. Amen. Wake up, church. It's no time for prayer meeting to be a disgrace. It's no time for prayer to be lax. It's no time to quit giving to missions. It's time we make a greater investment. Amen. We talk about money's not going to be any good. Willard Cantillon's been, the dollar's been dying on his hands for several years. And I thought, well, if mine's going to die, I might as well give them away. Say amen. Rejoice, O church. Let's rise in the name of the Lord and marshal our forces and unite our efforts, and let's quit our little silly political rallies and get back to the base of praying and fasting and believing for God to send another revival. He's coming. I'm one of those that happen to believe that we're not going through the tribulation. I've fully convinced some churches won't, because they've already been through it. In fact, Armageddon won't even scare them. Would you shout now? Instead of giving them a plaque, give them a Purple Heart. They've been wounded in action. Would you say? I get amazed. I was out in California, and I ran into a group of these tribulation folks. They're going through it. And I didn't even argue with them. They came out to talk with me about it. And I said, I agree with you 100%. I believe you are too. Amen. But brother, unto them that look for him, unto them that expect him, I believe we're going to hear a trumpet sound. A king's going to come. The red, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Here a while back, I got a hold of a book. And it said you should get some dried prunes and some dried raisins. And it said you should get some water purifying pills. And you should get some plastic bottles. And you... Man, he said, whatever you do, turn your cash into gold and silver. And he said, get you a hole in the ground and a survival kit and some aspirins. And man, I read that book, and the more I read it, the more I got scared. And I started to go out and get a shovel. And then I said, just a minute, I'm going the wrong way. Hallelujah. Woo! We're going to be caught up to meet him in the air, up. Woo! Shouting ground. I'm not going to rely on dried prunes to get me through. I'm going to rely on the victory of the cross and the power of his resurrection and the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah! That's the blessed hope. Renew it again. Because some of us have quit looking for the Lord to come. Because if we thought he was coming, you couldn't hire us to miss prayer meeting. Say amen. If we thought the Lord was really going to come, you couldn't stop us from having a landslide revival. And we'd quit watching the clock on Sunday morning, whether it was 12 or not. Woo! Brother, it'd start a camp meeting. We'd break loose in pandemonium if we really believe what we're preaching. He's coming, though. Suddenly, gloriously, wondrously, unannounced, unexpected, a trumpet's going to sound. Hallelujah. I don't know how many is going to sound, but there's going to be at least two. One to wake you up, one to take you up. Because he said at the last trump, and there has to be two to be a last one. Or he'd have said at the first one. Hallelujah. Woo! I think the first one is to raise the dead. The only reason they're going to be raised first is because they're 6 feet further down. They got to catch up with us. And we're going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever, ever, ever be with the Lord. Now, I think the rapture takes place in Revelation chapter 4. I saw a door open in heaven. And the next scene I saw 420 elders on the throne that were redeemed from the earth, and they were around the throne, and they were having camp meeting, and they were saying, glory and honor and might and dominion be unto the Lord God omnipotent that reigneth forever and forever. And I know that wasn't some churches I've held meetings in, because they wasn't saying that. Sit there and look like this weaned on sauerkraut juice. Look like the mother-in-law was going to spend the winter with them. Oh, let's have a revival that brings back an expectancy to the church. The blessed hope, the blessed hope. Our King cometh, our King cometh. Hallelujah to the Lamb. But what bothers me tonight, everybody talking about heaven isn't going. Did you hear me? Why call ye me Lord and do not the things I bid you? There's no use of talking about the rapture if you're not living in rapture victory. It's useless to build a Sunday school and be able to send in a report and get a large plaque if it doesn't get people from the rapture ready for the rapture. In fact of the business, we'd be better off to leave them alone than to get them in the church and fool them with religion. The worst thing I could think of is to be fooled and come to the end and not have rapture victory and not have extra oil in the vessel. Let's get men and women ready, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Everybody's not going. Jesus said there's six groups that won't go. Number one, I've got my message homiletically arranged tonight. I've got 6 points. And no poem. Poem. Say it again. Number one, the Bible said there was a certain king that gave a marriage supper for his son. We've been singing about it for years. When I got into Pentecost, we were singing, I've received an invitation to that glorious marriage supper of the Lamb. Woo! We talked about it. Hallelujah. We sang about it. It was our joy, our song. He hasn't come, but it's still the thriller. See, hallelujah. A preacher came through the country and said, Israel will become a nation and they'll go back home. Woo! We shouted our socks off nearly. Praise the Lamb. Hallelujah. Brother, God's going to regather and rebuild the covenant with Abraham and restore his people. When we saw signs of that happening, brother, we had a spell. But tonight I live on the threshold. Nations of the world are in condition. The church tonight is in exactly the place where the Bible said it would be. A tremendous falling away and a tremendous outpouring of the Holy Ghost at the same time. There is in one city a church dying on the vine that's barely taking the evangel. Amen. Would you shout now? It has Assembly of God on the marquee, but really they should put Ichabod. Would you shout now? It's a dying organization, but right across on the other side of the town, there's an outpouring of the Holy Ghost and the fire of God's falling, and men, women, boys, and girls are being brought into the family of God. God is doing what He said in this last day. Certain king gave a marriage feast for his son, sent forth his servants, and said, go and invite them to the marriage supper. Did you realize what an invitation? You talk about a privilege. I'd have to take a demotion to be governor of the United States or of Oklahoma. Did you hear me? Somebody told me the other day, Brother Brankle, I've got an offer. I don't know what to do about it. I'm thinking about leaving the ministry. One preacher told me if God hadn't called him to preach, he'd have been in Hollywood. I thought it's a shame he didn't go on. No use of ruining two professions. See, man. Brother Rogers, if they have anything, they'll equal this out there. Call me collect. Brother, to be a child of the King, to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ, to be a representative of the King of Kings, to be able to walk through land, sea, and shore and tell men, our King is coming. We're invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The marriage supper of the Lamb. Preacher friend of mine got an invitation to the president's prayer breakfast. And he was so excited, he showed me the letter. In fact, he got to go. And he got to pray, I don't know, for some little meeting somewhere. And he had a picture of him and Tip O'Neill. I think I'd have tore it up. But anyway, he had one. Like the way look. I'm not in your politics. I don't care whether you're Democrat, Republican, or a boll weevil. We did have a plan worked out to get our hostages out of Iran before we got them out. Jane Fonda offered to exchange herself for them, and we wanted to get we was ready to do the trading, but poor old Ted Kennedy wanted to drive her to the airport, and we we knew that'd never work. This preacher was so excited. Brother Brankle, I'm going to be at the president's prayer breakfast. I said, I want to tell you something. I got an invitation to a meeting that makes that look like an afternoon at McDonald's. I'm invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb, where the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords shall come forth and shall be glorified in the eyes of His saints. Hallelujah. Whew, that's shouting ground. You talk about being at a banquet, and they're going to have Baskin-Robbins ice cream, and it won't make you fat. Hallelujah. Isn't it awful that things that taste so good will make you so big you can't get around? And all these folks have got a diet for me, and most of them are so skinny they have to jump up and down in the shower to get wet. They had a runner in their hose, they'd fall through it, and then they'd try to get me on a diet. I like the second day of a diet. You're off of it by then. That's my favorite. I've received an invitation, Frank Cargill. I've been invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Woo! Shout it. Come and go with me to my Father's house. Come and go with me to my Father's house. I got an invitation and you can go. Woo! Shouted, brother, we told it. We're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. But they made light of it. That doesn't say they smoked cigars. It doesn't say they went to the pool hall. Why do you folks get so quiet? You name sin nowadays and folks just quieten up. There was a day we'd say, amen. Brother, it's easy to shout on the bank when dead Egyptians are floating all around you. Woo! Get your tambourine out. Hallelujah. What a day. He delivered us. He set us free. But you can't make light of this message. You can't treat this message of His glorious return lightly and be there. There's nothing wrong with farming. There's nothing wrong with merchandising. But there is something wrong if it's more important than your invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Let me tell you, folks, this is the highest calling. This is the greatest invitation I've ever had. I'm going to get to be a part of the family of God, the bride of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. To be adornment for heaven's glory. What a day, what a day, what a day, what a day. Pray for me. I'll hold out to the end. I'm not coming back. They sent flowers to Aunt Nancy's niece and didn't send it to my aunt when she is in the hospital. Put your religion in a bumblebee and fly backwards. I wish we'd get over some of this silliness. Say amen. Let's get back to doing business for God. None of them, Luke said, none of them that made light of it. If a farm is more important, if merchandising is more important, if you can make light and the coming of the Lord doesn't mean much, don't worry about being there. The only people that are going to heaven are those that are watching, waiting, praying, expecting, longing, hallelujah, that are blood washed, sanctified, pure, holy, triumphant, overcoming. Read the qualification for the rapture. It's without a spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing. It's the pure in heart, the righteous, the redeemed, the purified, the made white, the tried, hallelujah. It's that group that'll see God. If I thought you could love this world and treasure this world and put more emphasis on the world than you can on Jesus Christ and get to heaven, I'd quit the field tomorrow. Because if you can, everybody and his brother can get in. Would you shout now? He's not coming by Springfield and get a list. Amen. It's going to be an overcoming church. It's a triumphant church. A blood-washed church. You make light of his coming. Treat it lightly. Treat it lightly. You can holler like a Comanche Indian at the ball game and sitting like totem poles. In the church, I doubt seriously if you got rapture victory. Would you shout now? If an altar doesn't interest you, if winning souls doesn't interest you, if revivals wear you out, I doubt seriously if you're just about as close as you can get. And if you don't enjoy revivals, I hope you don't get to go. I hope you're not there. You'll want out in 30 days. Because, brother, we're going to have a time. Woo! Hallelujah. Say, man, I'm not interested. Wouldn't that be awful to have a bunch of complaining folks say, when's the service going to be over? We're going to shout and sing and worship and praise and adore the matchless name of Christ Emmanuel. None of them, Luke said, none of them shall taste of my supper. Now, they didn't cuss. They didn't drink. I know some that do. And they're members of our church. I hate to upset you, but I do know some. They didn't go. They weren't at the bowling alley, the pool hall, the honky-tonk. I like the way you folks look at me. They weren't down there. No, that isn't where they were. They just made light of his coming. Treat it, brother, with respect. It's honor. Our king's coming back to earth again. Number two. That's number one. They didn't go because they made light of it. Number two. He said there was an old boy. He said, glory to God the way I see it. I've got to be me. There's some of the dumbest teaching going around now. If it feels good, do it. I'm deep now. I can do as I please. There was a day I was narrow-minded like a few of you poor dummies. Same. Woo, I'm going to have a time while I'm here. Brother Dodd, I may never get to come back, but I'm sure having a time while I'm here. And somebody said, if you preach like this, folks won't come back. He didn't tell me to preach so you'd come back. He told me to let you have it while I had you here. Amen. Woo! Let's get ready. The coming of the Lord is at hand. Nobody said, bless the Lord, the way I see it. There's a few narrow-minded in our district. A few of these poor. Now, I'm not interested in a group that's just got two or three sins. I'm not interested in pharisaical, self-righteous, bunch of pharisaical, Pentecostal snobs that won't pray, that won't shout, that don't drink, don't chew, don't cuss, don't do anything. I'm afraid of certain Christians. They'll hatch a bunch of hypocrites. You could just come about as near running a dairy with steers as you can with a bunch of self-righteous people. You can't build a church on that crowd. I'm not talking about that crowd. I'm talking about godly, righteous, prayerful, believing, Holy Ghost filled, in love with Jesus, in love with one another, that walk in the Spirit. That's the crowd that's going to greet him in clouds of glory and will crown him king on yonder shore. This brother said, the way I see it, there's a bunch of narrow-minded in the Oklahoma district, and if it wasn't for them, we could have a lot of liberty. After all, we've learned how to give them the Holy Ghost. We take them back in a room, and we've... My brother had a sister in his church, and they took her down to the hotel. And they're trying to get her to speak in tongues, and they told her to start out with the alphabet. A, 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 A. Bay, 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 bay. Can you imagine anything that dumb? If God can't fill you with the Holy Ghost and he can't cause you to speak in tongues, you don't need it. He's still the baptizer. Boy, Jesus said he'd baptize them. I baptized a few and they acted like it. Amen. They were 30-day wonders. I wondered where they were after 30 days. Bring back a revival of reality. The book said there came in a man that didn't have on a wedding garment. I believe you can cheat a little, lie a little. I believe you can live like you please. The way guys see it is just sincere. After all, they've got a different standard, different places. They drink beer in Europe, and they don't wear clothes in Africa. Would you shout? Brother, we're getting the crowd. Thank God for you missionaries, but I'm going to tell you, we're getting a crowd now that rationalizes nearly everything. And he came in without a wedding garment. The way I see it now, it doesn't matter how you see it or what I think. It's what that book said was going to get in. It's going to be the pure, the righteous, the undefiled, the overcoming, the blood washed, the pure in heart. What is that wedding garment? It's not something you can buy at the store. It's not something you can purchase at the counter. No, so you won't get in with your everyday street clothes. For I got over to the book of Revelation, chapter 19, and I found the wedding garment. Chapter 19, John said, I got there and they were having praise service. And that bunch broke loose and were shouting, Alleluia! Woo! Alleluia! I know that was some churches that I was in that's not going to be there. Because they didn't shout like that and I was there. And if you're not shouting down here, I doubt if you're a shouter at work up there. I don't think the undertaker can make a saint out of you. He can press a grin on your face, but it's artificial. He'd just well leave you looking like you did in church. Shout now. He got there, but he didn't have on the wedding garment. What is it? Revelation 19, they were saying hallelujah. Word trickled into the glory world. Babylon fell. And brother, they did break loose when they heard that. Babylon fell. One of the saints, did you know Babylon blew up? Glory to God, let's have a spell. The New York Times said, what a tragedy. And most... The book said one of them stood up in the midst of the throne and shouted, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Come on. And his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was given a white robe of clean, white, fine linen. For that white, clean, fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Call it what you will, brother. It's purity. It's godliness. It's righteousness. It's dedication. It's commitment. It's cleansing. It's washing. It's redemption through the blood of Calvary's bleeding lamb. Number two won't go because they didn't think the wedding garment was necessary. And our churches are increasing in number with people that make fun of the wedding garment. Am I right? Yes, sir, I'm right. Number three. I like to get out a little early. I don't like long-winded preachers. The mind cannot digest more than the seat can endure. There's a mighty strong amen on that. Let me hurry. Number three, the book said as it was in the days of Noah. They were eating and they were drinking and they were marrying and giving in marriage. The days of Noah was the days of violence, the day of stubbornness, the day of self-will, the day of permissiveness. It's like it is today. Three little girls were standing on the street corner, and one of them said, how do you like your new papa? Your mama got married the other day. Oh, said, he's sweet. He just buys us candy and everything. And the other little girl spoke up and said, he is a good one. We had him last year. That's the age we're in. We're in a world of permissiveness. And it used to be in the world, but now it's moved into the church. And it's in epidemic proportion. And God send us back a revival of righteousness. And God help us in the ministry to hold a standard. When I see men's lives that are not clean, they may be able to pack the auditorium, but I think there's some demands on the ministry to be godly and clean and upright in the sight of God Almighty. The book said two will be in the bed, one will be taken, the other left. Two will be grinding at the meal and the other left. It's exactly how it's going to happen. I believe most Assembly of God churches will break Sunday school records the Sunday following the rapture. I believe that'll be the all-time high day of your church. I believe there's enough carnal and lukewarm, because the lukewarm are not going to go. There's enough that have lost their first love. There's enough backsliders in most communities to pack your church out. Mister, it's going to be a sad day. I can't imagine what it's like when we're left behind. The first group didn't go because they treated the message lightly. The second group didn't go because they didn't think the wedding garment was necessary. And the third group didn't go because they refused to walk in the light. You can't be in the same bed with somebody ready to go without knowing what it takes. And you can't be pushing the button down at the time card at the mill with somebody that's got rapture victory without them telling you about it. It'll show up, brother. Refuse to walk in the light. If we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Number four, and I'll hurry. I'll have to find a caboose for it to get through.
Number four. Jesus said it. Watch. And I wondered why he said so many times, watch. But the church is prone to go to sleep in the midnight hour. Sir, it's midnight. And the church is prone to sleep when they should be watching. Watch! Watch! Paul writes and said, it's high time we wake out of our sleep. Now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 said, we're not of the night. They that are of the night sleep in the night, and they're drunken in the night. But we're the children of day. Watch. Be awake. Wake up, church. Quit our silly little routine practice and find that glorious rapture. Folks, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. Call us back to righteousness. Old timers that have lived for God for years and lived separated lives and clean. And today, they're being introduced to something that's a million miles from what we prayed through to a few years ago. It's pretty hard to swallow. Say amen. It's just pretty hard to go to church and support the church while your preacher sips cocktails and supposedly talks in tongues. Come on. Folks, let's have a revival that'll bring us back till we find rapture hope, the coming of our blessed Lord. Here's the message. Here is the message, mister. Here is the message. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, will find so doing. Brother, I want to tell you something. You may be popular down here, but I'll tell you who's going to be popular in the end. And that's the one that's kept their garments and let their loins be girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness and can stand in his presence. When the all-seeing eye of the King of Kings, I'd rather him say, well done, than to own the city of Oklahoma City. Let me hear him say, welcome home, welcome home. That's the message. Here's the message. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart. Now he never went to his pastor and said, I don't believe the Lord's coming. He never went to the Sunday school teacher and said, I don't believe the Lord's coming. He never said, dear superintendent, I'm not looking for the Lord to come. I've heard very few people tell me he wasn't coming. Here a while back I had a religious broadcast on and that fellow said, don't you let anybody excite you with the coming of the Lord. It's not about to happen. And the only reason I listened to him is late at night and I wanted to get mad enough to stay awake. Our Lord's coming back to earth again. Shouted from the housetop, he's coming. But the book said, that brother said in his heart, my Lord's not coming. And the next thing I heard him, he began to fall out with his brother. He began to smite his brother. And a sure sign you're not ready for the coming of the Lord is you can't get along with one another. And the second sign, he began to eat and to drink with the drunken. And the Lord of that servant will come in an hour when he's not aware and cut him asunder and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. And there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Let me talk to you. Let's talk about the four that didn't make it now. Number one, the man that treated it lightly. Number two, the man that didn't think the wedding garment was necessary. Number three, the person that refused to walk in the light. Number four, the man that thought the Lord wasn't going to come now. He's delayed it so long. I've quit looking for it. Dad used to believe it. Mom used to shout about it. But I'll tell you what. I'm vice president of the bank now. And looks like I'm living better than I ever was. And I'd just rather stay here. Am I right? Now I'm down to it. Number five. I'll just give it to you so it'll be on the tape. Five wise and five foolish. I wouldn't have known this, fools. Went to the same church. Heard the same sermon. Sang in the same choir. That's right. Sang out of the same song books. All of them had an AG membership card. All of them took the evangel. And I like the evangel. Don't you think I'm throwing off on the evangel. I'm just showing you that's not enough to get you in. I love the evangel. But the book said five of them were fools. Outwardly, I wouldn't know them as fools. They went to meet the bridegroom. Some of them had a quartet. You thought you'd have to tie a bell weight on them. They're going to go to heaven any minute while they're singing. But as soon as they got through, you'd never know they got blessed. Would you shout now? Oh, I know I'm plowing close to the road while I'm here, but this is my last night. And maybe, sure enough, the last one. The books. The book said five were fools. I wouldn't have known it. Ten to the same church. I never heard. The book didn't say they acted different. It said down in their heart. Now, I don't know what you call the oil. I've heard it preached on. I've heard people make light of the message. I've heard it. But whatever it was, if you lose it, you can't get in. And whatever it was, they didn't get it when they went to buy it. Because when they came back, the door was shut, and I still heard him say from the inside, I don't know you yet. There's going to take more than a profession to get us in. The man that hid his talent in the sand and his Lord's money hid it, the Bible said, won't make it in. Now let me talk to you for a little while. Lord, who shall ascend to thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly, speaketh the truth in his heart, backbiteth not with his tongue, nor taketh up reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that feareth the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to usury. Well, there's going to be a day, it's going to be something to be accounted worthy to be in the bride of the Lamb. Pray always, the master said. Pray always. Pray always that you may be accounted worthy. The book said, now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies and drunkenness and reveling and such like, and they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There's no use trying to climb up another way. The Bible said you're a thief if you try to get in some other way. It's by the righteousness of God. Here's the book. There shall in no wise enter into the city anything that defileth, or worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they whose names are in the book of life. Jesus said, don't rejoice because devils are subject to you, or because you can pack an auditorium or have a magazine. Rejoice because your name's in the book. Oh, mister. What am I preaching about tonight, folks? The worst thing I can think of is the rapture take place tonight and I'd be left behind. I just want to know, what would I do? What would I do if the trump of God sounded and the king stepped out and I was left behind? There's two things I fear. Number one is the fear of missing the rapture. I've held revivals for 37 years, over 700. And within my heart I'm crying, Master, let me be accounted worthy. Let me be accounted worthy. Let me be accounted worthy. I don't want to stand in my own righteousness. I want to be clothed in the righteousness of the King of Kings. Now, sir, I can't make the robe to let me in. He'll make it, but I've got to put it on. He said, put on righteousness. Now I'm going to hurry. I'm going to close. My heart trembles. Number two that I have a fear of, and that's going to hell. Now I'm going to tell you, friends, it frightens me to think that you could preach all these years and throw your ministry away in one foolish day of senseless dissipation. My heart trembles. My heart trembles. When a man's heart becomes so hard that he can sin and never flinch, never repent, never bow his knee at an altar. I've cried and I'm going to make it out loud, and I know when I make it, you better mean it. But I say tonight, God, strip me of everything I've got, flatten me flat on my back. Let me spend my last days as an invalid if it takes it, but don't let me go to hell. Deal with me, chasten me, correct me, reprove me, but let me step this side of heaven's shore into the blood of Calvary's bleeding lamb and find a cleansing from sin that I'll be accepted when he comes. Father, would you come tonight? Would you take the message, Lord? Somebody wants to go to heaven. This world's not our home. We're pilgrims, we're strangers, we're pressing through. My Father, there shall in no wise enter into the city anything that defileth or worketh abomination. You said a proud look was an abomination. You said a lying tongue was an abomination. You said hands that shed innocent blood and feet that run to mischief. And you said to sowing discord among the brethren is abomination. God, there's seven things you hate. I want to stand in your presence, approve. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. Cleanse me, O God, in the blood of the Lamb. I love you, Jesus. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I wonder how many in this auditorium could pray the last prayer in the Bible. You're living with rapture victory, and you could lift your hands and welcome the King of Glory to step out tonight. And you could invite the King of Kings to come, and tonight you'd be thrilled to meet him in clouds of glory. Would you slip your hand up and love him tonight? If you could meet him, Jesus, my robe is white. My sins have been washed in the blood. My heart has rapture victory. Even so, come, even so, come, even so. Amen. Father, we worship you. We worship your name. We're in the presence of the King of Glory. I wish every person in this building would hold steady with me for a few minutes. I'm down to the important part of this rally. I wish you'd bow your heads with me in prayer. And I wonder how many tonight with an uplifted hand would say, Brother Brankle, there's been some things in my life that I haven't been able to pray through over. It may have happened in the church. It may be between you and a brother. But Brother Brankle, I'm not living like I'd like to live the day the rapture takes place. I don't know, it may not have anything to do with that. But there's some things in my heart that I don't have rapture victory like I need. There's a day I had extra oil in the vessel, but tonight, I know it's midnight. I know it could come without further notice, but I'm not living where I'd like to live the day he comes. Could you raise your hand and say, pray for me, just with an uplifted hand? How many would slip your hand up? You'll be honest with God and me. Yes, I see it. I see it. I see it. I see it. I see it all over. Yes, all over. I just want you now to raise your hand if you mean business. Let God know you mean business. There's some Brother Brankle, I've been crying for a refilling of the Holy Ghost. I've been needing a new touch of His love. I need that oil in my vessel. I need that fire in my soul. I need rapture victory. Would you pray for me? Slip your hand up. Oh, I see them all over the building. Friends, we're at camp meeting, and this is the last night. And I want you, when you drive home tonight or tomorrow, when you go home, I want you to be filled with the Spirit of God. I'd like for God to use this tabernacle for His baptistry tonight. I wish He'd take out all of the bitterness and all of the hate and all of the indifference and all of the stubbornness and all of the rebellion, all of the pride and all of the jealousy and all of the evil surmising, and wash me in the blood of Calvary's Lamb and forgive me of my sin tonight. Would there be one more that say, Brother Brankle, I want to be included in this prayer? Yes, I see it. I see it. And there's another, and there's another, and there's another, and there's another. There's another, and there's another, and another, and another. Friends, we're not here tonight by mere chance. We're here by divine appointment to do business with God. I'm down to the most important part of any meeting, and that's the altar service. Listening to sermons won't get you ready, but doing something about it will get you ready. Don't be ashamed to walk down this aisle. I don't care if you're pastor of the largest church in the district. I don't care if you're an evangelist and you hold the largest revivals in the Assemblies of God. If you need Jesus, meet Him at the altar tonight. If you're ashamed of Him, He'll be ashamed of you. Bury our pride and our selfish, foolish pride, and let us find that altar of repentance and prayer, dedication and commitment to God. I want you to stand, and I'm going to pray. For I believe that right now is the time the church needs to hold together. I would not pay the light bill on a church that didn't have an altar service. I have very little hope of people being in the rapture that treat an altar service lightly. I believe this is the most important part of any meeting. That's when men walk down an aisle and kneel at the foot of the cross, face to face with Jesus, and cry, "Search me, oh God, try me. See if there be some wicked way in me." Father, I come in the name of Jesus. Hands went up tonight. There's sincere hearts. There was dads, there were husbands, there were mothers, and there were wives, sons and daughters. My God, my Father, my Father. Things come about that robbed us of that touch of God, and tonight we want to renew our vows. Come home, come home. I want extra oil in the vessel tonight. When the midnight cry is given, I want to see Him in glory. In Jesus' name, minister to these that raise their hand. These that unashamedly now as they walk down this aisle. Father, as they step out and start toward this altar, I pray that heaven will meet them with new shoes and the best robe and a fatted calf. Hallelujah. Fill us with Your presence. I want you to start down the aisle now. The victory march is on. If you need help and you're not ashamed of it, if you mean business and say, God, it's me. I'm not living like I'd like to live my last day on planet Earth. If I knew the King was coming tonight, I need a prayer meeting. I'm not asking you what church you're a member of. I'm not asking if you're credentialed or not. I'm just asking if you'd like to have a prayer meeting. If you'd like to touch the King of Kings. You'd like to have a cleansing. Take out the bitterness. Take out all of it. Take everything out of my heart that's unclean and unkind, unholy, impure. Folks, there's a victory march coming now. We're starting down the aisle. They're coming from the sides and the back. This is the time we settle accounts with God. We settle accounts with God right now. We're coming, we're coming, we're coming, we're coming, we're coming. From the back, from the front, from the sides. Obey the voice of God. If you feel the nudging of the Holy Spirit, listen to that still, small voice. Isn't that beautiful? Don't be ashamed to come to this altar. There's room at the cross. There's room at the cross. If you're not walking like you'd like to walk the day the King comes, we have an altar. We have an altar. I said, we have an altar. We've got a place men meet God. Our King is coming. And every man that hath this hope purifieth himself. Every man that hath this hope purifieth himself. Brother, it's just a short distance to an old